FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers, and welcome to this week's edition of This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. On this week's show, we'll have reaction and interviews from Saturday's FA Trophy tie with Marske United. And later in the show, we'll be hearing if the women's team could progress to the first round proper in this season's FA Cup. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with some midweek league action, as FC United fell to their first defeat of the season in an entertaining 1-0 defeat at South Shields on Tuesday evening.
Dodd plays it down the line, Donoghue will collect. Back to goal halfway line, Donoghue tries to play it in for Homsa-Smith. Homsa-Smith goes past his man, but he's dispossessed in the end. Good pressing from FC, but good work there from Ross. Right-hand side now being brought infield, South Shields. Trying to form a threat here. Edge of the box now. McCamley. And the ball goes behind the man there. Penfold is back defending, but South Shields have it. But Blair Adams is forced to retreat. But now the ball is with Turnbull. Just inside FC territory. Turnbull. They still have it to the Claret and Blues. Ball goes out to the right-hand side. Decent looking ball. Briggs tries to bring it infield. Good pass in. Real chance now. Saved. And there's a rebound. And it's gone in. And South Shields take the lead.
Well, they've been, to say they've been back, they have been banging on the door, haven't they?
Both teams played really, really well. And just, you know, basically it was just that fine margin that went in South Shields' way.
Listen, congratulations to South Shields. Fence and Lee have got a great side there. Saw what they did Saturday. But it was a great game of football. I just said that to the technical area on that cross, and I said it to our lads, you know, an entertaining game of football end to end. Times that Bonnie's making saves, and times that Lavercombe's making saves. But, you know, a little bit of naivety's cost us tonight, but superbly proud of the way we played, you know, in particular after Saturday, and them as well, you know, and It was difficult. It's difficult to take, but you've got to congratulate, you know, South Shields on a really good win.
Neil Reynolds there speaking to Tim on Tuesday evening following his side's 1-0 defeat at South Shields. In other news, the club have announced the signing of former Tranmere Rovers defender Callum Woods. Here's Neil Reynolds speaking of his new signing on Friday evening.
You've made a couple of signings in the last week, and both have been impressive. I mean, Trey Pemberton was superb, I thought, on Tuesday night. You've made another acquisition as well in the last couple of days.
Yeah, so Jordan Simpson came in and Trey Pemberton. I think both, like you said, both have been excellent and have hit the ground running and just give us more options. And we needed that extra midfielder, so we brought that in. And, you know, a different kind of winger, we brought that in. And, you know, people who watched him, particularly Tuesday, will know that, you know, we are definitely strengthening the squad. But a major coup, a major signing just happened in the last 24 hours. I've been speaking to this player. You know, it's the first time he's been out of the pro game since he was 16, playing the FA Cup last year for Tranmere. He's played in playoff finals for Preston North End. He's made nearly 300, you know, senior appearances. That's Callum Woods. Callum, you know, he's just turned 33. He's had a number of offers, but he's looking to get into coaching and dropping down. And I know him really well. I met him at Simon Wiles' wedding last year, and we just got talking and we hit it off straight away. And, you know, next thing, you know, 12 months on, he's coming time for FC United. He was at the game last Saturday. He was super impressed with the way we played, with the facilities, with the fans. And he just said, this is where I want to play my football. So, you know, a defender gives us bags of experience. And, you know, he's it's a major, major transfer signing for us. So, you know, looking forward to getting Callum straight involved tomorrow.
So, Callum, welcome to FC. Obviously, it's a huge signing for the club. Can you tell us a little bit about what attracted you to us?
Yeah, obviously coming down here to see the club and stuff. I've known the manager for a little bit of time, and he invited me down to see what it was all about. And when I had a look around the place and everything and the setup here and the way it is, and then I actually came to the game last Saturday as well in the cup, so I seen that and I saw all what it was about. I seen the fans and stuff. Obviously there's only a few who are allowed in at the minute, but I just imagine when they're all allowed back in how bouncing it'll be.
55.
So it is FC United of Manchester from the Northern Premier League, Premier Division.
Player 16.
Take on Doncaster Rovers.
And finally for this week's news, FC United have been drawn at home to Football League side Doncaster Rovers in the first round of the FA Cup. It has also been announced that this match will be televised on BBC Two this Saturday. Here's manager Neil Reynolds talking to Ben about the news on Friday evening.
Just delighted for everyone, Ben, connected to the club, to give us, you know, more coverage than what we've had in the past. It's just, you know, it's a dream come true for any player, any manager, and any fan to get to the first round of the FA Cup. Obviously, the sad news is that we can't play in front of fans, but don't get me going on that. But for the club and everyone connected to it, it's just a huge achievement. And when I was, watching the draw live on Monday night, albeit I was there being interviewed, I was just praying we were going to get one of the big sides. And I think Ipswich, Charlton, Doncaster Rovers were still left in it. And, you know, when we got a home draw, 55 in it, pulled out Doncaster Rovers, you know, to kind of go up against the likes of Darren Moore in the technical area and his side is, you know, it just means everything. So, you know, we really look forward to next week. And like I said, being on BBC, the cameras will be down. There's a lot of... a lot of attention going to be paid towards us, and we're going to be in the spotlight. So it's really, really good.
Obviously, this is the problem now, isn't it? Because you've got this game in the distance here, and it's got big flashing lights all over it. But before that, you've got Warrington in the league on Tuesday, and then you've got Marsh United. I mean, the FA Trophy is important as well as the FA Cup. So how do you make sure, you know, the boys stick with it?
Well, you know, we progressed the furthest out of anybody in our respective league last year. We got to play Barrow, and what a day that was, albeit, you know, the scoreline wasn't great. But, you know, we said we wanted a big club, and we got a really big club, and we enjoyed the occasion. So, in terms of the FA Trophy, we want to go again. You know, it's that trophy that, you know, realistically, somebody from our level of football can win. So, you know, all our attention goes towards that. And trust me, man, if I see anybody even shirking tackles, which they won't do, or making themselves unavailable, you know, they can forget about the FA Cup. You know, tomorrow, the most important game, is tomorrow, followed by Warrington. And if we come through Warrington and Marsh unscathed, we'll get ready for Saturday. But mark my words, you know, every game of football, friendlies, FA Cups, FA Trophies, league games, all mean everything to me. And trust me, I don't want to be going into next week on the back of an exit of the FA Trophy and not to be getting some points against Warrington. So, you know, my team selection won't differ. You know, obviously we're going to have to nurse injuries and unavailability. But we'll be strong. We'll be strong, and you know, we'll be taking Marsh very seriously tomorrow. We know that we're a really good side. But no, you know, I just want to reassure people that my mind will only turn to next Saturday's game at Thursday night's training.
And with regards to this last Thursday night's training, obviously we had to. This is the thing, isn't it? You played Guiseley, and it was a cracky performance. Then we've got to schlep all the way up to the northeast to South Shields on Tuesday and back again. So, what was training like on Thursday? I'm imagining it wasn't too arduous.
Well, nice and relaxed, you know, just getting ourselves ready for the game. It's difficult, isn't it? You know, everything took everything out of us last Saturday, and you don't get a lot of recovery time. Then we're jumping on the bus at lunchtime to get up to South Shields, but we were fantastic at South Shields, but credit to them, you know, they got the 3 points, but two teams really played the right way, and I was so proud of the boys. So, you know, two exceptional performances, one defeat, you know, all season, one defeat since the lockdown, if you will, since the last South Shields game, and, you know, FA Cup first round, win the trophy tomorrow. There's so much to be optimistic about for the season, but the lads are brilliant. You know, the lads will never moan, they never ask for time off. They never, you know, talk about the away trips. They're just a really good set of boys who are friends together. So the more time they spend together, the better off it is. So, like I said, you know, everybody was talking about Marsk last night. So that's good. And I'm sure after Marsk, everyone will be talking about Warrington. And then we can look forward to, you know, this huge game that is Doncaster Rovers.
And finally then, Neil, obviously, like we said, it's FA Trophy tomorrow. Marsk United, really, really dangerous. So what's your message to the home faithful as we head towards this game,
well,
the FA Trophy?
We know Marsk are a fantastic side. They've got a great front three that would definitely play at our level of football, if not above. You know, they're one of the early season favourites for their league. We know how strong that league is, you know, playing a number of teams in pre-season from that level of football. So we know we're going to have to be at our very best. You know, like when we were the underdogs yesterday, and we had nothing to lose and, you know, kind of beat Guiseley. We've got to make sure that we don't get a banana skin tomorrow because, you know, they're going to be the underdogs. But I know that if they got promoted, they would handle themselves, acquit themselves well in our level of football. Like, I know that, you know, if we got promoted, we'd handle ourselves well in the league above. So, you know, the message to the fans is, you know, it's by no means a given. You know, we need everyone to get behind us again. We need the place bouncing like it was last week. And, you know, that extra support just means the world to us. But like I said earlier on in the interview, we'll be doing everything we can to win tomorrow's game because, you know, that is the most important game of football for me and the club. So, you know, bring on 3 o'clock tomorrow and roar on the mighty Reds.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Broadhurst Park. And you join us here on a Saturday afternoon as FC United are taking on Marsk United in the third qualifying round of the FA Trophy. And joining me here back in the TV gantry for this afternoon's coverage is Keg and James Quinn. James is with us now. Hello, James.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone.
Oh, listen to that voice. That was lovely, that, wasn't it?
Like no chocolate.
No offence, Keg, but mine yeah. And your voices aren't as good as...
We just draw that. We're just mank drawlers.
Obviously, the last time FC Live was coming into people's living rooms and earlobes was Tuesday night against South Shields. A frantic game. Not the outcome we wanted, but what do you reckon we learned from it?
Well, I think that you've got to play every second of every minute. FC played absolutely brilliantly against a very good team. It's two quality sides. You couldn't separate them. And just that moment at the end, it wasn't quite the defending that FC required. I know Neil was disappointed, but of course he made it clear he didn't want to get into the players because the performance was so, so good. But I think it's every moment of every... all through the game has got to be concentrated. But we learnt that Trey Pemberton is a really strong, skillful, wide player who could be a great player for FC as long as he's here. Jordan Simpson had a good game, but he doesn't feature today. I assume there's an injury there. Great team performance, though. And, you know, sometimes you just got to hold your hand up.
Yeah. And obviously, when it comes to this week that we've got, started off with Guiseley last week on Saturday. Obviously, on Tuesday, we had South Shields away. Today, Marsk United in the FA Trophy.
Marsk.
Thank you, Keg.
Thank you.
On Tuesday, Warrington here in the league. Then Doncaster on Saturday. This is a manic 2 weeks
for the
squad. Well, I think we'll get to the FA Cup.
I think we will.
I think we'll get to the FA Cup. Money talks at the end of the day. And yeah. I think we will get there. But in an ideal world... This is a lot to juggle, Keg.
Well, put it this way. Put this into perspective. Since the City of Liverpool game at home in pre-season, if we get to, say, I think we've got a home game on the 17th of November. If we get to that home game and we play all the games we've planned, we will have played 19 games of football, 16 of which will have been at home. 3 away, and we film one of the away games. That's... the level of frantic.
And that's all luck. In obviously, it's FA Cup draws, FA Trophy draws. It's just worked out that way.
Yeah,
I mean, it's been handy, to say the least, given you know what we're having to deal with in South Shields, having to deal with the lack of over 1,000 people not in attendance week in, week out. So it's been handy with that regard.
Yeah, and thanks to everyone that's contributed via the donations to the club and also taking the pay-per-view option as well. Thank you very much for that.
The other thing we have to say is heading into this game, Neil's dipped into the transfer market and got Callum Woods, an experienced defender, formerly of Tranmere Rovers. And by looking at the formation, the starting 11 for FC United this afternoon, it looks like Curtis Jones is going to be going into midfield, which isn't necessarily a bad thing against Manchester United.
Yeah, indeed. Unless they go for a back three and thrust Dodd and Morris in a more attacking role, but that will soon...
breaking news, everyone. I've just said all that, but it looks like we're getting fresh team sheets up the ladder in a second. Our runner, Paul, is coming up the ladder now.
We've got
changes, everyone. Break it straight off the press. I'm surprised he's not holding this team sheet with a glove. It's that hot. There we go. Thank you. And what's changed? Chris Doyle's injured. So Chris Doyle is injured, and therefore they've had to change the numbers around as well because someone's shirt doesn't fit properly. Don't you love non-league football, everyone?
It's not me.
No. I'll come to you, Keg.
There's been a lot of lockdown this year, you know.
So Doyle looks like he's gone to the substitute bench. I think he's gone to the substitute bench, and I don't think we'll see him based on him having to drop out the first 11. So that's just filling up a spot, isn't it, on the substitute bench. So late change there. Not ideal, James.
No, that isn't ideal. I would think that will mean that Callum Woods will play a centre-back role alongside Jones.
Which kind of negates the question I just asked about, you know, Jones going into midfield. He's not going into midfield now, is he? So Luke Griffiths will be in midfield alongside Donoghue. Donoghue was starting in the original lineup with number 10. Now he's on number 8, and also coming into the starting 11 now is Charlie Ennis.
He was
injured though on Tuesday, wasn't there? So Ennis was. So it'd be interesting to see how fit he actually is, but needs must, I suppose.
Yeah, he was walking very gingerly, but obviously Potts out, Simpson out, and to be honest, it does demonstrate the strength of squad that Neil has got now, particularly in the midfield. With Luke Griffiths, Michael Donoghue, Callum Woods having come in, who can play defence, but Curtis Jones can play there. But then you've got Simpson, you've got Thompson Smith, who's on the bench today.
Right, the teams are coming out. So without further ado, this is FC Live, brought to you by constructivecoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Armour. FA Trophy action this afternoon, FC against Mask United. And it's over to Keg. But first, James Quinn.
So Griffiths and Ennis. In fact, it's Griffiths who looks as though he's going to be the man. The Jones is up there. Callum Woods has gone up for FC. It's Donoghue and Dodd have remained back. Two stayed up for Mask. Griffiths with the free kick. Nice delivery. In goes Jones. And it scores. Well, excellent cross there from Griffiths. Onto the head of Jones. I think Mask will be disappointed that there wasn't a defender closer to Jones, but he just took the header so well. No chance for the keeper at point blank range. FC into the lead.
That's our first proper attack, really, isn't it?
And a nice play there, but the ball is given away by Mask. And now Sinclair Smith now surging over halfway. Now Trey Pemberton. He's got Sullivan pursuing him. Trey Pemberton
in the box,
twisting and turning, but he's outnumbered in the end, and O'Sullivan does well. Craig Gott pulled down there, don't quite know why there by Donoghue, but on we go. Quick free kick, Connor Smith over halfway, right hand side, and he floats it in there. It's a nice looking ball, it's headed across, a chance for Boyes, and he equalises. Good work there, good break, and that comes from an unnecessary free kick being given away, but they took it very quickly. Good work on the right hand side from Connor Smith, and then the ball played back across to Adam Boyes, who good composure from him, he slotted into the keeper's left, and it's 1-1. Morris gets it back from Penfold and manages to smuggle the ball out to the left hand side, but Smith, as ever, is alert. He's done well down that right flank as Connor Smith plays it back to his keeper Catterick, who hoofs it downfield, defending to do for Curtis Jones, with Boyes snapping away, and there's a chance for Boyes. Boyes, he scored! A mistake by Curtis Jones there. Doesn't get enough on the head. And it's really no more than Mask United deserve. And FC have got about 6 minutes to put this right. They'll be kicking themselves all the way home. Ball, long ball forward. A really good long ball there. Picked up Jones got ahead on it. It just wasn't enough. And good composure for the second time in the game for Alan Boys, who slotted home, and Mask have the lead 2-1. Down the line it goes. Morgan Penfield, but Wheatley as ever. But it's a poor ball from Wheatley now. Morris plays it across, though, but it's just that lack of composure. It's kind of snatching at passes, but the ball is played out for a throw-in for FC. Again, it's about midway inside Mask territory. 2-1, the visitors lead. Fowler wins a throw. It's a level with the 18-yard line. Right-hand side, Morris to take this one. Just wondering whether Curtis Jones might maybe take a forward position now for the rest of this game as FC try and find something. Morris, Griffiths, plants it up there. Catterick, unconvincing. Sinclair Smith, blocked. Chance for Fowler.
Yes!
It's 2-2. And FC get the equaliser. Morris, can he find quality from the right-hand side? Morris, he plays it across. He tries a left-footed shot. Wheatley gets a foot in. Ball is cleared now. Mask defending desperately. And that ball, will it go out? Defending to do here for Connor Smith. Does well. Now, Curtis Round now bringing it out of defence. Good ball from him now. Tymon. Boys plays it out. Nice ball, right-hand side. There'll be three added minutes. And now it's Maloney. FC with defending to do now. Maloney into the box. Oh, what a strike from Maloney.
Well, out of nothing almost.
And that was... Sometimes you just got to hold your hand up. I'm sure Reynolds will have wanted somebody to have been closing him down there, but he struck it beautifully there, the number 12, and it goes into the top corner. And Mask retake the lead here with 30 seconds or so of the three added minutes gone. And that will be that. And a desperately disappointing afternoon for FC United. But congratulations to Mask United, who deserved that. They didn't look a division below FC United. FC were not at their best. But Mask, they kept going. And even when FC equalised close to the end, they still themselves fought back and found the winner. And it's FC United and Manchester 2, Mask United 3. And it is Mask who will progress into the next round of the FA Trophy.
Well, go on, Ben.
I was about to say, just what I said at half-time about how subdued it all is, even at full-time, where normally, even with a defeat, there'd still be something. There's nothing.
No, there
it's
was
a trophy. Very weird atmosphere.
Early round of the trophy.
No, it's odd, though, isn't it?
Well, we said early on in the second half that losing possession could cost us dearly in the end. And he did. And the other thing that cost us dearly in that grandstand last 10-15 minutes was the ability of Mass to do what we couldn't do, which was break at speed that we couldn't cope with.
There was one counter-attack, wasn't there, that Sinclair Smith launched with Fowler's help, and he released a pass to Coquelin just on the edge of the penalty area. But that went from our box to their box. But I think that was the only one we did in the whole of that second half. And Coquelin obviously put the effort wide. There is... I don't know how to judge this game, where it fits into everything, because obviously we beat Guiseley on Saturday last week in the FA Cup. We had that tough trip away to South Shields. By all accounts, James, the only thing we were missing at South Shields was putting the ball in the net. We still played very, very well that night.
Absolutely.
Whereas this has been a very flat performance all round.
You mentioned changes.
Yeah, there has been changes.
I think you've hit the nail on the head to a degree
there.
You know,
missing Potts, missing Linney, missing Doyle. That's nearly the span of the team, more or less, isn't it?
And yes. Jordan Simpson, who was very effective in midfield. Just thoughts from Swampy. FC looked very tired physically and mentally, not at the races in most of the game. Great goal to win it. Poor decision-making, poor in possession. Lethargic, have we go again on Tuesday. Mask deserved the win. No impact with the changes. Tired. Guiseley, South Shields, big games. And we could have done with a rest today.
Yeah, I think that's true, actually. There was a moment towards the end of that second half there, down here, when, in fact, it was up here, just before, I think it was the winner. We had possession in Mask's half, down here by their corner flag. And Morris and Donoghue were dead on the feet. The ball was there, and I think it's catching up with us. And it'd be interesting to ask Neil what his plan is for Tuesday, because... I think we're nearly at the bottom of the tank here, and if we're not careful, we're going to be dead on our feet for Doncaster.
Well, the changes, you'd have thought the changes today were with one eye on Tuesday and especially next Saturday. You'd think, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But you're right, though. What are we now? 10 weeks of football since the City-Liverpool game, and with the exception of the break for the FA Cup game that we got the bye at,
yeah,
it's been twice a week for 10 weeks.
Yeah, it was the Morpeth weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was,
yeah. So other than that, it's been twice a week for 10 weeks.
Yeah.
It's a bludgeon this early part of the season till about end of November. It always is.
Well, we'll wait for Neil. Let's talk about... obviously, I think man of the match has to go to Adam Wheatley, their captain and centre-back, because he was formidable all the way through that game, I thought, their number six. When it comes to our performances, from an FC perspective, again, it's just difficult to make a judgement, really. I mean...
Well, I mean... You see, it's that inconsistency, because Donoghue...
You don't want to be... The thing is, whatever you're about to say, James, you can't really be too harsh, because... Well,
no, I wasn't about to be harsh. What I was about to say, the inconsistency, because Donoghue, for example, won a load of balls, just to take one example. But then players kept giving the ball away, and it's got... Fatigue must be a factor, but whether or not Neil will buy that, it'll be interesting, because Donoghue, of course... was out. I mean, he only did 30 minutes as a sub the other day, and he'd been out isolating, so it's difficult to argue, for example, that he would be particularly exhausted. I don't know how much football Woods has played, but it's I don't know whether the mentality was there today. I think Mask's mentality was stronger, and you're absolutely right, unusually the crowd were quite muted.
And we can't be too harsh on the crowd either, because there's a lot going on in the world at the moment, and it's you know,
that's the way it is. But let's congratulate the opposition, who I thought were very professional, very effective. And
well, we said in the Neil said in the build up, and when we did our fixture preview on the MPL show this week, you know, Mask, they might be step four, but they're not going to be step four for long. They're following the same path that Morpeth have tread, Spennymoor. They're a good team who are going to be at step three, maybe not next year, but certainly the year after. And you know, this was their moment to come here and make a statement, and they have.
Well, bad luck, Neil. What were the main components of that defeat in your view?
Not having the willingness to get back in at 2-0, just saying here, the other side of the game that we talk about time and again, and when you leave five at the top end of the pitch, who aren't prepared to get back in. Granted, the lad, it's a worldie, you know, well done, but he should never get in that position. Dodd should never be in a position where he has to engage the fullback. Should have had a wide man in front of him, should have had two centre mids in front of him, should have forwards tracking back. Didn't happen.
Didn't happen. Is fatigue an issue, would you accept at all?
Yeah, listen, I'm not here to make excuses, but I've no Linney, I've no Potts, I've no Doyle, I've no Simpson. I shouldn't have brought Cocoline on. Shouldn't have started Ennis. You know, we are stretched. You know, Curtis Jones had a car accident on the way to the game today, and you know, didn't feel great. You know, there's loads of things that, you know, I said, things that people don't see, but Doyle pulls up in the warm up. So it's not an excuse. We should have a good enough squad. But you take out Potts, the place is like a morgue. You know, you look at the other side of his game where he's organising. He wouldn't have let us get stretched with a minute to go. With five up front, you know, but it is what it is, and you know, look at fatigue. But even the lads who started, we did all right second half. You know, we're probably only one team in it, but we didn't do enough first half, James. Our passing was awful. Our work rate was awful. You know, you can talk about fatigue. I have a say in the dressing room that I just believe tiredness is a psychological weakness. That's what I talk about. Think you're tired, you are tired. You know, token 50-yard runs at the end of the game doesn't impress me. You know, that should have been done a lot sooner. So, no, tough one to take.
I wouldn't be saying the players would do this consciously, but there's obviously been a very exciting week for the club with the announcement of the FA Cup. A lot of talk of the live television and so on. Is it possible that psychologically, subconsciously, the players just were not 100% at it, or some of them today?
It's a fair question, and I just said there'd be nothing more humiliating than when you don't even make the squad or get off the bench next week. You know, you've had a good big opportunity, some of you today, but four or five of my bigger players missing. Have you taken your shirt?
I'm not sure if you have. So, you know, I'm not against them. You know, I can handle losing games of football, no problem. I can't handle is, you know, when did we see anybody top someone in the game or make a fair tackle? I don't recall one, to be honest. That, you know, people just going through the motions to me. And, you know, Tiddlywinks, FA Trophy, FA Cup, league game, friendlies, they mean everything to me. And unfortunately, like I've just said, Callum Woods is there. You know, I'm a manager in the Northern Premier League, I'm a manager in the Championship in the Premier League, saying the stuff I've just said, and he agreed with me, as did Michael Fowler. You know, if you haven't got the other side, then you're not going very far. So, you know, there was too many the other today that didn't show the other side of the game.
We were looking at quite early in the first half, it was noticeable how much possession we were losing when not under pressure.
Yeah, our ball retention game was awful today, and there's no reason for it. You know, there's no reason at all for it. We're rushing things, we're playing things in one touch.
We couldn't understand it.
When we secure the ball, we always take two, we rotate. And do you know what it is? I'll tell everyone listening what it is. When you're not at the pace of the game, when you're not at the pace of the game, you become sloppy. You become sloppy in possession, out of possession. You can't do that 50-yarder. You can't skew the ball and move it the way you would do. They were doing it last week against Guys, they'll do it next week against Doncaster. But today, you know, team below them, underdogs, have they prepared themselves right? I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure. Listen, there's not the whole game that I was disappointed with. I thought second half, we were good. The most disappointing thing for me is like the ball retention and the work rate for the last goal. Albeit it is it's a great strike in the top corner, but it should never have happened.
Two things from me for the second half. One is I thought that as they played a higher line, maybe we could have broken at them quickly, and yeah, we didn't do that when we could have done.
No, Trey took a knock in the first half and couldn't shrug it off. And I thought, you know, there were glimpses of Trey being able to get in behind, but he couldn't shake it off. Brought Morgan Penfold on, looking for a reaction, but we couldn't really get him into the game. But Finn Sinclair Smith was the only one who really brought the lines today and did really well. But I don't remember a midfielder going in beyond the front man today. You know, you talk about that, like, getting forward, kind of starved Dodd into the last half an hour of the ball. Morris was wasteful in possession, you know, he just said it. Just disappointed, but the problem is, when one does it, it's best about your team. You know, it's hard to get out of the habit. I mean, they're not excuses, it's real life, you know, it's real life football, but it's, you know, for me, it's not good enough, because it's not as though we're a long ball team and then today we expect them to play football. We play football all the time, and we work on it in training, and we work on it, you know, in all aspects of everything we do here. So, you know, it's a sickness this to me. Like I said, choosing out, I can handle getting me at South Shields because we play really well. I can't handle that today. That's going to take a long time to get over.
Well, you made the changes on the hour. The three words that are guaranteed to always start a debate among FC United fans: two up front with your wingers. Why don't you think that worked when you made those changes?
I'm just not a big fan of it. We go long, we resort to kind of just flicks and in behind, and
which is why it gets people talking when you do make that change.
Yeah, because we didn't have anything else. I mean, there was literally nothing else. I wasn't going to bring on one or two people from the bench today because attitudes weren't correct in the warm up, and they've just been spoken to now.
And that's
live, you know, and that's the decision I made, and whether or not they've got a future here is the decision that I'll make. I don't expect people to be happy being on the bench, but I do expect, you know, kind of a reaction, and, you know, that limited me to my substitutes today. But still, you know, so we went 4-4-2. I needed to try and get Cocoline on to give him some minutes, see whether they got a reaction. And we'll just have to, you know, we'll have to assess that and see how he is come Tuesday.
One final thing from me is credit to Manchester United. I thought their defending in and around their penalty area was as good as I've seen, or better.
They're very good, aren't they? They're very well organised, well drilled, big. Obviously, they're good at defending set pieces, they're good at attacking set pieces. There'll be a team that's up there, you know, in the league below us this season. You've got to credit them, you know, for coming here. You know, it was tough for guys at set last week when, you know, they get knocked out by a league below, a side of the league below them, which was us. Today's tough for us. We've been knocked out by a side of the league below. But, you know, for me, I warned people of this threat. You know, we played Trafford, clear the roles, etc. in pre-season. It's a good league, it's a good standard. If you come here and you're not fully on it, you're going to get punished. But it's that loss, you know, first loss in over 12 months that,
yeah,
I can't, you know, it's an amazing record, isn't it? But not in the manner that we've lost it.
Are you feeling good about the sort of the next 7 days? You've got,
I'm annoyed with the league. Yeah. I'm really annoyed with the league that, you know, we're the first team, or South Shields and ourselves are the first teams not to get that grace for a midweek game. You know, we finished 1-2 last season. Points per game goes out the window. 1-2 get to the FA Cup first round. They put a league game in midweek. You know, we haven't got any preparation time. And like when Paul Carden said to me on the phone the other day, that surely the league will step in and support you and free up the Tuesday night game. We've asked the league and they said no. You know, maybe it's different when they find out we're on BBC next Saturday, but it's too late. You know, and there's just got to be a little bit of common sense here, because common sense isn't prevailing. We're having to squeeze these games in. We're getting injured. We're getting injuries. But you think it'd be nice for, you know, if they would have said, you know, prepare, usually Tuesday and Thursday, prepare. But unfortunately, you know, we're seeing right at the top end, you know, with the FA and the government, that they're making mistakes every day. So, you know, our league are no different.
Well, Neil, thanks for joining. Thanks for your honesty, yeah, as always. And we go again, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds there speaking to FC Live following his side's exit from this season's FA Trophy. It's back to league matters next for the Reds, as FC United will be hosting Warrington Town on Tuesday evening. There are significant changes to matchday arrangements this season due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. So for further information ahead of this game, please visit www.fc-utd.co.uk. But if you cannot make this game in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll have full commentary on Tuesday evening right here on FC Radio. Tune in from 7:30 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. To the women's team now, and on Sunday afternoon, FC United hosted Chorley in the final qualifying round of the Women's FA Cup. To hear now if FC United could progress to the first round proper, it's over to Ben and Paul.
Hello everybody, and welcome back to Broadhurst Park, and this time you join us on a Sunday afternoon for Women's Team Live FA Cup special this afternoon here on the 3G pitch. You join us at the back of the main stand, and it's FC United of Manchester against Chorley. And with me for this big game, maybe the only bright moment of this club is my club this week, Stato Paul's with us. Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
What are the chances then of this being the up point of the show this week?
It's a tough prospect ahead this afternoon. Chorley, a division above us. Obviously, reading the social media, they're very excited about making progress in this competition like we are. So it's going to be a tough old game.
We are on the balcony at the back of the main stand, so it will be a bit windy, but hopefully it won't ruin the coverage too much. And now FC United with Cunliffe on the ball. Cunliffe, back it goes to Fields. Fields now on the halfway line to Cork. Cork, though, under pressure, loses out, and now it's a two-pronged attack from Chorley. Shot comes in, and it's just beyond Chloe Ainsworth, and it was a great finish there from Sophie Flynn. And Paul, we said about how quickly Chorley can break, and how, you know, FC United, I think we're aware of that throughout the first half. There we lose out, they sprang forward, and that was a devastating finish really from Flynn.
That was probably one of the first times we've actually pushed players forward in advance of an attack, and lost the ball on halfway and got picked off. And good finish by Flynn, to be fair.
Well,
good strike.
7 minutes played of this second half, and it's been a close affair, this one. And that was really the first proper clear-cut chance from either side. And, well, a great finish from Flynn. Cara Fields wins the ball back and keeps the ball in play. Does remarkably well in such a tight space. Cara Fields brings the ball out. Remarkable. Here is Richardson now. A long ball over the top for Bailey to chase onto. Bailey's been... she's got this ball back. Bailey! Oh, and Bailey scores! Bailey scores out of absolutely nothing, really, Paul, with 14 minutes left to play. And I think credit has to go to Jordan Bailey for her persistence there. She had two purple shirts blocking her off from that ball. But also, Cara Fields, remarkable to get this ball with the touchline in play and three purple shirts around her. She gets the ball out. It was amazing.
Bailey should never have won that ball against two bigger players around her. But sheer persistence, won her the chance to get the shot in. And all of a sudden, the women are back on terms and there's still 14 minutes to go.
Fields to Chambers. Chambers, it's a give and go with Fields, but Fields, I was stretching to get to that ball, and now this looks very, very dangerous from Chorley. 4v3, out to the right hand side, the ball comes. Chelsea Patient moving over. Oh, that looked like handball. That looked like handball.
No, says the ref.
No, says the ref, and the linesman's flag stays down. And Chelsea Patient loses out over on the byline, checks inside. Oh, and is that going to be a penalty?
That's
no.
That's not a penalty.
That wasn't a penalty, but I think it looked like handball. But we're on the blind side, weren't we, though, Paul? But
if they lose, they'll
come back to that. Chambers, Richardson. Richardson infield. Going one way, going another. There's players out left. One of them's Chambers. Chambers still with the ball. Dips a shoulder. Shot comes in. Oh, it's gone in. The goalkeeper left it. And with 5 minutes left, Chambers scores.
Well,
2-1. Paul, from a controversial penalty shout to a goal, maybe the winning goal. What do you think?
Well, it looks like for the second week running, the captain has rescued her side and found a winning goal. And this is going to be disputed, I'm sure. But
well, the thing is, Paul, is that it was right in front of the assistant over on the far side. Yeah. And the assistant clearly shook her head and said no. Yeah. So,
but that was a goalkeeping error, I'm afraid. We have to say.
The goalkeeper left it. Well, 5 minutes left. 4 minutes left. Plus stoppage time. Can FC United get through to the first round proper of the FA Cup? Full time. 4 minutes of added time played, as promised by this commentator here. And Paul, 2-1, wow. FC United. They've played a blinder there, haven't they?
Well, it's another piece of escapology, I think, similar to last Sunday. And after Chorley took the lead, I mean, they took advantage of a quick breakout and were in like Flynn, you could say. FC stuck to the task. They were resolute. They kept that belief in themselves. And as the second half went on, you could possibly sense that a goal may come. And it was a very unexpected way of scoring the equaliser, the long ball, and Bailey winning the ball out of nothing. But once they got level, I did feel FC were the stronger side and were more likely to win it. And Kirsty, of course, has a penchant for taking punts on shots from distance. And unfortunately, Camp, the keeper, misjudged it and let it go. And of course, it flew in the corner. So I think FC are in now uncharted waters in the first round. I don't think we've ever got to this stage.
Well, it's been a phenomenal performance. I mean, in the first half, there was nothing separating the two teams other than the division, the divisional gap. FC United well and truly in the game. You'd think when Flynn scored, and it was a great goal, really, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, great strike.
That was going to be Charlie. And we struggled to get the thread after that goal went in, 7 or so minutes into the second half. But then, like Paul says, all credit to Jordan Bailey, persistence. And then Chambers with a captain's goal with 5 minutes left to play. 2-1. We've got Cameron Hussein joining us on This Club Is My Club in a second. But first round of the Women's FA Cup, we don't think there's going to be a league game now. We don't know what's happening with the Women's FA Cup. We've not heard anything. So hopefully we'll get some clarification soon. But congratulations to FC United's women's team for winning this game. It's been a great performance.
They've lifted the clouds on a difficult weekend.
It has been a difficult weekend. I was worried about this club, my club, this week, but here we are with the rain coming down. Here's the silver lining. Big congratulations to the women's team. Big thank you to Stato Paul for joining us, and you'll be hearing from us again soon, hopefully. Farewell. Well, Cameron, a big thank you for joining us. What was that at the end? That was amazing.
Yeah, we went into the game with a positive mindset, and we knew that we can beat anyone, like we've said previously, against Leeds and Norton. So it was just super proud of the girls. It's nice to devise a plan and then for them to go out and execute it, and they've done that so well today. Against a team as well who take pride in keeping clean sheets, to score two against them is massive today.
The first half, there was nothing separating the two teams other than the fact they're in a division above, and that must be really pleasing.
Yeah, I felt like it was a bit of a chess battle, and there was a bit of a battle in terms of moving players around, and they were very organised, and they got us in areas that they wanted to, so they were quite comfortable, and we addressed that at half time, and we've gone out, we've implemented what they've been told, and for me, I feel like the risk and the reward always pays off, because we're the ones that are always willing to take the risk.
Now, there's some quality players in that Charlie team. Flynn, the goal she scored was amazing. At that point, we lost our thread a bit, and it took us a while to get back into it, but it comes back to Cara Fields and Jordan Bailey. Both, you know, Cara Fields on this near touchline, she had no right of getting that ball out from where she was, and Bailey had no right of getting on that ball, did she?
No, and this is it. And we want our players to stand up in these type of games and show what they're made of. And today, for me, we did a couple of changes at half-time and just after, and it showed as we've got on the ball, we've got a little bit more confident, but we had more purpose in our possession. And I felt like we were the stronger team and we were always going to be the one that looks to score the winner in that second half.
Kirsty Chambers again, captain's goal right at the end.
Yeah, no surprise from Kirsty there. Kirsty, Jordan, I feel like they're such key, valuable players, but it's no coincidence, is it, that they keep turning up, keep scoring important goals against big teams in the dying minutes, in the last 10, 20 minutes, you want to call it. We know we're a team that finished strong as well, and it keeps showing. It's no coincidence.
Now, I always ask you the same questions. The same players' names always pop up. But this week, I've got someone new to mention. Okay. Caitlin Clancy. Mopped up everything today, I thought.
Yeah, I think she's a young one and she's developed so much since she's come in. And today, for me, it was a big battle and a challenge to see where her mentality was, how she would deal with the pressure of problem-solving and seeing what's in front of her. And she was an absolute rock in front of that defence today. And also on that right-hand side, she offered so much on the ball as well as off the ball.
Now, unfortunately, we are where we are as a country at the moment, and we're through to the first round, which is a phenomenal achievement. But we currently don't know where we are with regards to... I'm assuming the league's done now for 4 weeks at least.
I think so. I think with the league, I can't see it going ahead without any testing, which is not going to happen at this level. The possibility of an FA Cup run, we don't know. We'll have to just wait, but that's possibly something that we could look at and keep us active and going as a team.
Because it's all right getting through, because the game is scheduled for a couple of weeks' time, but as far as I understand, you won't be allowed to train or anything like that, will you? So, I mean, how do you... It's so up in the air, I mean...
Yeah, we're just going to have to see what the government guidelines are and try our best to keep active and keep close as a group, and hopefully we'll be allowed to train. If not, we'll have to work and innovate and think about new ways of keeping sharp.
But all that being said, what does this result mean for you, Cameron, and you know what you've achieved over the last year or so? I mean, this is unbelievable, isn't it?
I feel like on paper, when you look at the team, it's not quite as strong as previous seasons. But that being said, the strength of the team is in all the players, not just one player. And I feel like this is a massive achievement for the club and the team to get the furthest they've ever been and do even better. So personally for me, it's a nice achievement, but I feel like it's something that we 100% deserve. We worked incredibly hard pre-season as well, so super proud of the players, and I feel like it is well deserved for the hard work that's paid off.
Women's team manager Cameron Hussain speaking to Ben there following his side's progression to the first round in the Women's FA Cup. And on that happy note, that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. A big thank you to everyone involved in FC Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.